Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful co-host, Grace Garcia. And today marks episode 19. We are happy to be doing this episode 19. We are happy to be consistent. No lie, I think that's one of the keys of what we're doing is being consistent. And I think that's part of being better every day is sometimes, not me, but sometimes my beautiful wife is like, oh, I don't feel like doing it. But thank the Lord that she digs down deep and she gets the episode done. And at the end of it, she's like, babe, I have so many ideas. This is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to say and blah, blah, blah.
I think that we are balance each other because you are go, 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 be consistent. And then I get the passionate ideas and the guest speakers, and, you know, not that you don't do that.
Yeah.
But I see like vision and I get excited. I want to run. And then you are the consistent day in and day out.
And I think that's a beautiful thing about two different people coming together is that I'm the more consistent person. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, which is really key, especially in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think, people who listen to podcasts or listen to anything or really follow anybody, I think that's one of the most, like the biggest keys is consistency. People want to know that you'll be there when you say you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, your part is like the passion. But it's like a fire and sometimes that fire starts dwindling down, but I'm just like, hey, let's keep going.
Yeah.
And it's like a perfect combination when it's like both a combination of let's go. And you're like, I got these awesome ideas. Which, I mean, you've had the best idea so far. The most viewed video that we have, episode that we have is episode 17, the one dealing with loss, which, again, has been great. And your brother actually went to our church on Sunday, and he was saying that a lot of people were recognizing him just from that episode. They didn't really know who he was, but they were like, oh, you're from that episode, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... yeah, which brings us to today, episode 19. Today, I think, is going to be a pretty important topic. Well, I guess we think that all the topics that we talk about are important, but today is pretty important because today I had the idea of talking about seeking counsel and seeking wisdom. And as you may know already, we have gone to counseling twice. The first time... I don't remember how many weeks that we did it, but we did a good amount of sessions with the lady. I forget, something came up and we took a break and then we just never really went back.
Oh, we were hosting our connect group.
Yes, we were hosting our connect group. We had to take a break, but we never went back. But then later on, not that long after that, there was a program at Biola University. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but if I'm not.
No, you are.
I never know what I'm allowed to say or not. Sometimes you're like, what are you doing? But Biola University had this program where it's like 10 weeks. You get to do sessions for free. And it's the students that are about to graduate, right?
Yeah.
And they need to like get in these hours. And that one was really cool. And we've talked about it a little bit. The first time that we went to counseling, it was more, here are tools that you can use to work out your differences. Mm-hmm. And also, let's use these tools in front of the counselor so we can make sure that we're doing it properly. And she can also help us dig deeper. Mm. The second time that we went into counseling, it was more about the emotions. Tell me how you feel. How did that make you feel? Well, do you think that this connects to that? And like, it was more of that. It wasn't so much tools, it's just working out our feelings, right? And I guess why I'm bringing this up is because I believe counseling is very important. For us to seek counsel, for us to seek wisdom is very important. And so I guess I just want to start off, let's start off the conversation by me asking you, why is it that you wanted to do counseling? Because in all reality, you wanted to do counseling before me, and you actually did do it solo before me. Mm-hmm. So what made you get into counseling? What made you seek that?
I think when I was already kind of done feeling how I felt, it was in a moment where I was a mom already, but I was kind of the only one in my friend group really that was a mom.
And you're talking about when you went solo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what year was this? Do you remember?
I think it was 2018. Because Elijah was about like 1 year old, or he was going to be one. And then my mom's death anniversary already was a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely felt like I kept putting my mom's, like the grief, I didn't know how to grieve properly. And again, I felt alone because I had my siblings, but I was like, well, I'm the only one right now that's a mom. And I was navigating like new waters. So I was like, I don't really know who I can talk to, like, or if there was moms around me, they didn't have grief like I did. So I was just looking for answers and I was like, I don't know who to go to. So I feel like the best thing I could do right now is go to a therapist who can give me insight. And maybe they might not like exactly have experienced what I've experienced, but they can guide my thought process, guide me to healing and give me the tools that I needed. So that's why I sought counseling, because I was like, no one around me can really help. No one around me truly feels what I feel. And so I need to go somewhere.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you felt alone a little bit in mm-hmm. what you were feeling.
Yeah.
And so you were like, nobody else understands. And so I need somebody to at least help me, guide me through these feelings and reach a resolution.
Yeah.
And then when you first decided that you were going to go, was there any like internal pushback where you're like, oh, there's like, this is taboo, or I don't know, this is not what I should be doing?
No. And at that time, I think I was the only one that I knew went to counseling, like mm-hmm. therapy. Our church, for sure, the church that we went to at the time, didn't talk about therapy. No one said it was bad, though. Like, no, it wasn't talked down upon. It was just never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
In our Hispanic community, that's not something that's recommended. And so I didn't really think about it. I was just like, I need to get better. Like, I want to get better. I'm going to go. So I had no pushback in like, oh, this is wrong, or I feel like I'm kind of giving up on God or prayer or anything like that. I didn't feel that at all. There were some exercises that felt like really weird, and I'm just like, this is weird, but I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm here. But yeah, not that it was taboo or anything like that.
Okay. And out of curiosity, I'm just asking for the sake of, if anybody listened to this and they were like, what are these weird activities that you had to do? And was it worth you doing these weird activities?
Well, the one I remember the most was I had to like sit across from an empty chair and pretend my mom was sitting in that chair
mm-hmm.
and speak to her. Like, what would you tell her right now? Like, how do you feel? And I was like, this is weird because she's like off to the side, like watching me. So I'm like, this is weird. You're looking at me speak to an empty chair. So that felt really silly. And she's like, it's going to feel weird at first. But I did. I was like, okay, she's watching me. She told me to do this. And I'm not a person to like go against authority anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did it. And I mean, I think it worked because I felt like I definitely like healed properly. I feel like I got to a place where I'm not mad at God from it. And I could see the good out of a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there were things like that where you're just like, this seems silly.
It seems silly, but it helped.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you talked a little bit about the Hispanic. Do you feel like there's, prejudice towards counseling in the Hispanic community? Like, do you feel like off the hop, did you feel like maybe your dad like would have said something like, don't do it? Or do you feel like just in general, Hispanics just don't agree with that? Or maybe the general public?
Yeah, well, my dad never made me feel any type of way about going to therapy. So my family didn't. But I think there is just general, whether Hispanic community or even outside, where they see therapy as like, dang, you really are losing control or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are at wit's end, or you are at your lowest point that you really need help. I think that's where they kind of see it. They don't see it as a healthy person going to get healthier
mm-hmm.
or a person who is doing good in life and just wants to unlock the next potential. Like, they don't think those thoughts. They think, okay, like this is
they
kind
see
of
it,
the bottom.
Like, from what I hear you say, they see it almost like a rehab. Like, you're mm-hmm. definitely messed up. Like,
yeah,
you can't help yourself. Like you can't stop yourself from self-destructing or whatever. And that's why you got to go.
Yeah.
And then what would you say to those people then if there's, cause I feel like there's still a good amount of people that are like, oh, counseling, I don't know, like for me to tell somebody my problems. And then, I think definitely like a stereotypical man perspective is like, I don't want to hear them to tell me like that I'm wrong or that I'm messed up or that I have to change, you know, like no man, the ones that are married, we already hear from our wives. Like now we are going to hear a third person tell us that. Like, so what would you say to people like that?
Kind of relates to our past podcast, the last one, episode 18, where we said, why do so many people wait when they get bad news to go to the doctor to then make healthy changes, where they say you already have diabetes and now they're watching the sugar intake or whatever it is, right? When you should have been monitoring, making sure you're eating good for the sake of being healthy. Mm-hmm. And so in that same way, like today, for example, we decided, you know what? My health insurance is good. We're trying to be better every day. I'm getting a full work done. So went to the doctor, asked, I want to make sure I'm good all across the board. Can I get a full blood panel? And so it's uncomfortable because you're being prodded and, you know, like dealt with in an uncomfortable way. I don't like being poked. So there are feelings of anxiety, feelings of, I don't want to be here. But when you get the results back, it's not like a miracle changer, but it lets you know, okay, do I have to eat less sugar? Mm-hmm. Is my cholesterol too high? So that's where you decide, okay, now that I have this information, am I going to put the work to make sure I'm at my healthiest?
Yeah.
So same thing, when you go to therapy, there are questions where you're going to be like, this is very uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to be here. Do we have to talk about this? Or you're bringing up things that maybe you thought were in the past that you're like, that's been 10 years ago. Like, why do I have to revisit it? But it's to gauge, is this going to lead us to a healthy life? Are we like green in all areas? Or are there some things that are yellow, maybe red? And it's like, hey, this is going to stop us from completely living a healthy, free life in our mental state. And so I think it's kind of like that checkup.
Okay. And then, so after you finished the first time that you went, when was the second time that you felt like I need to go back?
Yeah. Well, the first time I went was due to my mom. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I was grieving properly because again, during pregnancy, I mentioned this, in the last episode, I felt like I couldn't grieve due to my kid. They say usually when you're pregnant, your baby feels everything you felt. So that was good. And it ended up being, cause I don't remember how long I was in therapy for, but the last half of the sessions where my dad was remarrying, which was perfect because I didn't plan it, but I was able to talk that through my therapist. So I felt like I healed and was able to accept his marriage. Great. Mm-hmm. So it helped my maiden name family atmosphere, if that makes sense. Like my Perez family. When I saw it the second time, it was for me and you. We were going through a tough time in marriage. I think I was dealing with postpartum with Araya and with a career change, which was in a toxic environment. And I didn't know how to ask you for help. I didn't know how to communicate my frustrations. Like we just didn't know how to communicate, period. And so I was just at my wit's end of like, okay, I'm gonna get a divorce if we don't fix this. And I didn't want to, obviously, and I knew it wouldn't have been a good thing, but I was like, I don't even know what to do anymore. So again, kind of what people think of like, oh, I'm gonna wait until this point to get a therapy. That's what I waited for. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I don't know what else to do anymore. I'm at my wit's end, which I don't think I did seek that the first time. The first time it wasn't like, I'm going crazy. I'm at my wit's end. It was like, I just have no one around me to guide me.
Yeah.
The second time was definitely more of like, I need it. It's like a 911 phone call.
And then how much time, did you spend asking, I'm going to say your husband, but I'm your husband. So do you remember how long you were asking me like, hey, like we should go see counseling? Cause I know that it wasn't like nagging. I would never call it nagging because you weren't like, let's go. You'd like here and there you would mention it.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned it from when I first started therapy with Elijah.
Okay.
Because in our therapy sessions, when it was just me and the therapist, I would bring up things that would be stressful to me in the home because she'd ask me like, just how are you? And that's when I was going back to school. So I was working, going back to school. We had our kid. It was a lot for me. But I guess bring you up and she'd be like, you should consider going to marriage counseling. Mm. And I'd just be like, he's not going to go. Like it was in a moment where I just knew you weren't going to go. And she like told me like a couple of times and I'm like, okay, like if she really is bringing this up like multiple times, even if I'm not even asking her to touch up on our marriage, like I didn't go there for marriage. I was like, maybe she sees some like warning flags. Like this isn't going to go good for you or like for you to heal, for you to be a good person. It takes two. So I remember bringing it up like here and there. But yeah, I can't give like a for sure deadline because I knew you are like stubborn. Like there's nothing that I can do to convince your mind unless I'm like begging and begging. And that's not something I felt it would have been more good.
Yeah.
And so I was bringing it up then, but it wasn't consistently. I was just like, hey, you know. You should go to therapy or therapy is good. And I remember even when we did that marriage conference and we had that session, like, I'm like, oh, let's go check it out. And you're like, okay. They gave us a free session. And the marriage counseling, I think it was like an hour,
it was
hour.
30 minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, like it's free, whatever, we're here. And you liked it.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, hopefully yes. And no, you didn't want to go back. It took a while from that point to when we actually went to therapy. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of let God, like, I'm not going to pressure you.
Okay, so we've kind of entered into a realm of marriage. And there might be listeners that, let's say, are women, their wives. They've been dealing through some things in their marriage. And, you know, it's kind of stereotypical. Mm-hmm. The wife, like, is like, hey, we need help. And they're like, hey, husband, like, we should go seek help. And the husband's like, no, we're not that bad.
Yeah.
That's usually the answer.
Yeah.
We're not that bad. And that kind of correlates with what you were saying before. Like, you people usually wait until, oh, it's bad. Now we need to go. But usually the response is, we're not that bad. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And so what would you say to them? Because right now I just said, you weren't really nagging. And you said yourself, like, no, it wouldn't have worked if you were nagging. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to them?
To the wives or to the husbands?
The wives.
Yeah, I totally believe you can go through the motions of therapy even. But if you yourself aren't willing, like there's nothing that's going to change. Mm-hmm. And so you can nag your husband and even maybe get him to go. But if he hasn't set in his mind, in his heart to truly do the change, like it's not going to get anywhere. It's like going to church. You can drag your husband to church, but if he in his heart doesn't want to have a relationship with God, there's nothing that you can do. And I think I truly believe in the power of prayer and that God has my back. And so I was like, God, if this marriage, if you don't want to see it fall apart, and if we were meant to be together, then he's your child. Like it's kind of like you're going to deal with him the way you want to. You're going to discipline him the way you want to, because that's not my role. Mm-hmm. And I truly felt like I did think to myself, like, if David loved me, he will do it.
Yeah.
But that's not something I can force. I can't force you to love me. I can't force you to show me. Because at the end of the day, it's like me, and I think I've done this before when I was toxic, like, get me flowers. You get me the flowers, and then I'm upset, you're upset. Like, we're all upset.
The act
of the flowers didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing, I can get him to go, but it's not going to work. You're wasting time. You're wasting money. It has to be the man's decision to want to do the change, to get better for himself and then get better for the wife.
Yeah, I completely agree. I always tell anybody who talks about counseling, if you're going to go, fully embrace it. You have to flip that switch of like, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to accept what I'm going to hear and I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to work on it.
Yeah.
Because in the end, the point of you going to counseling is for you to become better. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in that mindset, it's going to be a waste of money, because that I mean, you go to like a legit like counseling place, like it costs a pretty penny. Like it's not cheap. I think, what were we paying? 160, 170 mm-hmm. per session. And we went once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And the sessions were what, 45 minutes to an hour, depending.
Yeah. About an hour. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a pretty penny, but it's an investment.
Yeah.
100%. Like I will never say, I say it's a pretty penny because, you know, let's be real. It's 100, let's say $70 like every 2 weeks. That's $340 a month. That's,
yeah.
For some people that may be a lot, but that it's an investment. It is an investment, and it's an investment that will pay off greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a testament to that. Like we did it. And we could say like, yeah, it helped us a lot.
Yeah.
It helped us tremendously and we became better for it. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's have like a little side note in regards to talking about the maybe possible taboo, especially, I mean, I only say this because this is the realm that I've been in for all my life and it's the Hispanic church. And so, what are your thoughts in regards to the Hispanic church and the way that they view counseling or therapy?
In the Hispanic church, I mean, they have great faith. Like they have great hope. A lot of them, I mean, I can only talk about me being in the United States. So we see them going from another country to here,
mm-hmm.
trusting in God, believing that he has greater. And that's a lot. Like to do that, it takes a lot of courage, but then like they only rely on themselves, so that can only get you so far.
Yeah.
And unfortunately we see it kind of like just stop there. Like there's no reaching out to see how can I get my kid in the best schools, how can I get a business here, how can I do generational wealth. It was like, once I got here, like, boom, that's it. Like, or I don't know. It's just like they're not really reaching out to like their community, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like this mindset of like, we've got our own and that's it. I don't know why it's taboo asking for help. Cause you see in other communities, they open up businesses. It's like a family owned businesses and they thrive. I don't want to like name the exact like nationalities just in case I get them wrong, but you guys can think of businesses, other ethnicities. And I think it's A, for a lack of trusting each other and uplifting each other and sometimes maybe sacrificing to help another person. And B, when it comes to faith, it's just God has me. Like it's taboo to think that you're going to find healing in another avenue when God tells us to be in community, when we can, it is God through people. Like the Bible says, who's the body of Christ? It's the church. It's us different people making up Jesus's body. So it's not that Jesus is out of the equation. It's that Jesus through people, is providing wisdom, is providing healing, is providing knowledge and resources. But I always hear like, sometimes I always hear, I have the Bible, I have Holy Spirit, like I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And they put themselves in a box, unfortunately, where it's like, you're not reaching for help. You can only go so far. And so they only go so far. They're not using everything that God has given them, which is a shame. But that's what I think. I think it's definitely a lack of community, maybe culturally, and then also just biblically.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And now we're starting to get into the nitty gritty of why we should look at or seek counseling. I think in the Hispanic community, especially in the more old school, Pentecostal type of church community, mm-hmm. like they're all very Holy Spirit driven. Mm-hmm. They're all, I'm going to say it, like emotionally driven, mm-hmm. like, and they're very faith driven. But faith driven, like to where it's like, we are going to sit here and God, you're going to do it.
Which isn't faith.
Yes.
It's faith without actions instead.
Exactly. And I feel like going, like I've said this analogy before. Sometimes you're like, God, I want a chair. And God's up there like, I gave you the tools and I gave you the wood. Mm-hmm. Get to work. Yeah. You know, and like it's exactly like we said, there's people that have been equipped to be able to help you. And God has placed those people, those resources near you where you can go out and seek them, mm-hmm. and you can gain that knowledge and become better. But in the Hispanic community, for whatever reason, it's, I'm going to have complete faith in God. And it's almost like blasphemy to them to be like, I'm not going to rely on man. To rely on man is blasphemy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to rely on God. But they don't realize their weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why somebody seeks counseling is you have recognized and acknowledged a weakness in you that mm-hmm. you cannot fix yourself.
Yeah.
So you go out and you seek somebody who could help you with that. But they sit there and go, well, God's going to do something in my marriage. And usually that do something in my marriage, because we're talking about marriage right now. Mm-hmm. Usually that's do something in my marriage is God is going to change my spouse. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. A lot of times it's you that needs the work. It's you that has been carrying out like trauma from your childhood or, you know, issues that you've been dragging and dragging and you're too prideful to admit, like, I got these problems. Like, mm-hmm. And so people just need to realize, hey, I have a weakness. God has placed resources and tools around me. I need to use them.
Yeah.
It's very simple. And so for somebody that may be asking, so you were kind of like every so often, hey, we should go to counseling. We should go to counseling. And I honestly did not decide to go to counseling. And I feel like you kind of left the space of, listen, I'm going to give the idea. And I think in that aspect, I give you the full credit and acknowledgement. And I honor you as like the helper of our marriage because you're like, I'm offering like the solutions. Mm-hmm. But I'm giving you the space, like you're the one who's gonna decide whether we go or not.
Yeah.
And like you said, I'm pretty hard-headed and I'm pretty sometimes prideful. And some people might laugh, but because they've been in that situation with me, but I'm one of those people, and I hate saying it, but I'm one of those people that it's not a good idea until it's my idea, you know? And so like I would hear you, I'm like, nah. But it's almost like an epiphany or like something clicks in me where I'm like, okay, now, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it's what I said, like, had I gone before and I didn't have the right mindset, then we might have wasted time or money mm-hmm. or I might have not accepted any of it. Like, but in the time that I said, okay, let's go, it was around the time that we were having a whole transition in our life. I got a new job. We changed churches. We recognized that our cycle needed to change. Our atmosphere needed to change. Our environment needed to change. Our cycles, our patterns needed to change. Like we recognize like all this needs to change or else we're going to be like the definition of insanity, like doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that we're going to get a different result. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, we need to do different things to be able to get the different result. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
And so that's the time that it just clicked for me. And we always talk about flipping the switch. The switch was flipped for me. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And I remember you kind of being surprised, like, for reals? And I'm like, yeah, let's mm-hmm. go. Let's work. And you've said it before, like, I'm all in or I'm all out. And at that point, I'm like, I'm all in. Let's go. We're making all these changes. We're going to get healthy. Like, I was at that point, I don't know if desperation, but I was at that point like, no, our situation needs to change. Our marriage needs to change. And I remember at that point, my focus and my alignment was starting to finally start transitioning to like family first. Yeah. Because before that, family was not first for me. As much as I loved you guys, and I did love you guys, but I didn't, with my actions, with my thoughts and everything, I didn't make you guys my priority or first. And when that everything started shifting, I'm like, nope, family comes first. I need to do this for my marriage. I need to do this for my kids. I need to do this for the next generations. I need to do this just for plain old peace and love and joy within our mm-hmm. home. And so, yeah, it clicked for me. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And again, I repeat, I acknowledged And I recognize a weakness within me and a weakness within us. And it was something that we finally recognized and we dropped our pride. Because I feel like for us to seek help, it takes two things. It's the recognition of there's a weakness in us. We acknowledge it. We drop our pride. And number two is somebody else knows better than me. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the pride as well for a lot of people is like, I can figure this out on my own.
Yeah.
If you haven't figured it out in the last couple of years, buddy, go seek help in whatever area that you're struggling in. And right here, we could start even transitioning over to not just counseling, but in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says, if you walk with the wise, you're going to become wise. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to seek wisdom in this world? By having circles of wise people. And we're talking about wisdom in finances, wisdom in family, wisdom in marriage, wisdom with parenting, wisdom with what else? Health, wisdom with investing, like all these things. You need to seek those people. And now we're talking about counselors. We're talking about mentors. We're talking about coaches. We're talking about what else?
Teachers.
Advisors, all these things. And it's just like, we need that. But first, we need to recognize we have weaknesses. Mm-hmm. We can't do it on our own. And that's the other thing. And I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but just, you know, follow me. Like, we need to recognize and we need to drop our pride completely. If we really want to be better every single day, we need to drop our pride completely and say, somebody else knows better than me. Mm. I don't know it all. I can't figure this out. Like, I need help. And that's part of the pride of many people is saying, I don't need nobody. And that phrase right there, because I've said it before, and this is just me speaking from my experience, and maybe you guys can relate, but I don't need nobody. I got myself, comes from a place of pain. Comes up from a place of, I felt like too many people have let me down that, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in that situation anymore. But like it or not, you need people. Mm-hmm. From the moment that you were born, you need people. And until the day that you die, you will need people.
Yeah.
So we need to die to our pride and say, I need people. Accept it. If you have to go through the process of like saying it every day for you to finally get there, or through counseling, go seek the counseling and be like, I have this problem. I don't want to accept the fact that I need people. And so anyways, backtracking, that's what I came to the realization of is we need help. Mm-hmm. And when I finally realized that I need help, and like I said, flip switch, I was like, I'm in. I'm completely in. I'm going to completely die to my pride. And whatever this person is going to say, I'm going to accept it. And we've talked about it before. The first counselor, she would like make you go deeper and deeper and deeper because she wanted to hear and she wanted me to hear everything that you were feeling. Mm-hmm. And as you were speaking these things, things came up as in you were saying, I'm afraid of my husband. I'm afraid of the way that he's going to react. I walk in fear. I walk around eggshells. Like, and then all I heard, and because I'm an eight and I'm wired to like look out for the underdog, as I'm hearing this, I'm like, how have I allowed myself to be the monster in this story? Yeah. And now I am doing the very thing that I feel like I fight against. Like when I see somebody getting picked on, when I see somebody getting kicked while they're down, when I see somebody walking in fear, I'm just like, no, I need to say something, at the very least say something. I need to make the other person feel uncomfortable because that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe I can't change the situation, but I need to like at least plant the seed of like, that's not okay. And I realize like, I'm that person. And as I'm hearing this, I just, again, we have two choices. I tap into my pride or I die to my pride. And every single time, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say it was easy, but I died to my pride and I was like, I need to work on this. Mm-hmm. And so many times that we seek counsel, we seek mentors, we seek coaches, I don't want you guys to feel like it needs to be comfortable because many people would be like, I'm going to go to a counselor. I didn't feel comfortable with them. Or coach, I didn't feel comfortable with them. They're not there to make you feel comfortable. you're not going to grow in comfortability. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that goes, a great sailor isn't made a great sailor in still waters. It's made in rough waters. Mm-hmm. You don't learn in comfortability. You learn in uncomfortability. You learn in quote unquote failures or mess ups. That's when you learn. You don't learn when things are so easy. And so if you have somebody that makes you uncomfortable, as long as it's not like a creepy uncomfortable, like let's make that straight.
Or they are saying things that you're like, this isn't true.
Yeah. But if they're making you uncomfortable, as in like they're challenging you or they're telling you things that you might not want to hear, like I didn't want to hear that I was a monster in the story, but I was, like accept it. Because their sole purpose is to help you grow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got to that point. And with the first one, we got the tools. And that's another point that we're trying to get at as well, is what is the point of going to a counselor? It's not just to talk about your feelings. Mm-hmm. It's not just to work out your feelings, but it's also to gain skills and get tools to be able to, when certain feelings that are similar to that one come up, because they may, you're prepared for it. Because the other thing that I don't like, and this is my personal opinion, you can weigh in. When we went the first time, I told you straight up, I'm like, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to keep coming to this lady for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the person that we go through a problem and I'm going to call her up and be like, so-and-so, I need help because we're having a fight. Like I told you, we need to learn the skills. We need to learn how to do all this and we need to be independent. And that's not out of pride, but I don't think that it's healthy for you to be so dependent. It's almost like
using it as a crutch.
Yeah, using it as a crutch, and also like a child being dependent for the rest of their lives on their parents. Like eventually you got to leave the house. Eventually you got to spread your wings and fly on your own. And I feel like a lot of counselors want that for their clients. Like, hey, I'm giving you the tools, but eventually you're going to have to do this on your own. Mm. You know, I'm sure maybe some of the counselors are like, well, I like the money too. So, you know.
Yeah. Or like seeing it as, we're always going to need a doctor. Sometimes in our life, it's going to be more frequent, the checkups. Like something's wrong, I need to go every month. Mm-hmm. And then other times it's okay, twice a year. And then sometimes it's once a year. And you kind of graduate like, okay, this part of our marriage sucked. Hopefully we graduate that. And now when we go back to counseling, it's for something else. Because that's, I feel like, the second time we went for something else. And then it's when we seek another time, it's for another thing. We can go back for that first thing and just see, hey, how are we doing? Like reflection, kind of a checkup. Because I don't think also like, oh, just stop going.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we learned as well, is that going to therapy is similar to you taking your car in for maintenance. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with the car, but that it needs maintenance to be able to continue going the miles that you need it to go.
Yeah.
You need to. And it's the same thing. Same thing as us going to the doctors. Many of us, especially in the Hispanic community, we don't go to the doctors. And a lot of us is because of it, out of fear. We don't want to hear bad news.
Yeah.
But again, okay, let's talk about that. Like, you need to hear that bad news sometimes. You need to know that you need to react right now. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that I said in episode 18. Like, it sucks when you get to the point of, sir, ma'am, it's really bad. And it's going to be hard for you, even like super hard for you to get back to healthy. So that's one of the points of going to counseling. And she even told us, our first counselor, she was like, once you get to a point where you feel comfortable and you're good and you're working things out, I would suggest, hey, come in like once a quarter, maybe twice a year, just a checkup, just to make sure, you know, everything's good, just a general maintenance, you know, just to hear how you guys are doing, how is conflict going? Are you practicing the things that we've talked about? Is there things that we still need to work out? Has there been a huge fight or something big that really affected us or did like provide a trauma for us or something? Like, they're there to help. And that's the same thing. Like, God provides these people around us, these resources, tools, knowledge, wisdom. Mm-hmm. And like, if we're going through something and we're like, God, please, please, please. For some of us, God's like, I've set you up pretty good.
Yeah.
Go. But I think, and I don't know what you think, but I think for some people, they almost, because they can't see God and they can't see a facial reaction, they feel more comfortable like, all right, you know, I'm still Christian. I still believe in God. I'm going to tap into faith 100%. I'm going to lay it out all for him, you know. But they don't, again, they don't see a reaction. There's no rejection. There's no nothing. There's no maybe no correction at the time or whatever. And so they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's just me and God, like mine and his relationship, you know, like, hey, and then after that, we'll see what happens. And it's almost more comfortable to do that than to do it with an actual person that mm-hmm. might provide feedback or a challenge or, I don't know, like something that may feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree. And I think therapy, it's taking kind of what you know, but applying it. Like, for example, I love reading books. I like the self-help books. If I could go back to school just for the sake of learning, I can't, I would. But there's sometimes where like you read a book and you're like, this is so good. And you're like, I just don't want to read it. I want to apply it. But you can't do that until you practice. Mm-hmm. And if you don't put it into practice, that knowledge is a waste. It's for nothing. And there's many times where I'm like, oh, I wish the author or like the person who told us to read it, like show me how to do this. Like, let's actually do this. Let's implement this.
Yeah.
And same thing when you go to church and you, for the first time, you're like listening to the Bible and you're like, oh my goodness, I want to live this life. Just reading it is not going to change you much. It's only when you start applying it and living it. And that's why hopefully you go to church and you are in community and you have pastors and you have leaders. It's teach you how to apply it. And so same thing, the therapist is there to see like, maybe you might know the stuff. Maybe you might learn. But the therapist is there to see, okay, now let me see you apply it. Let's practice here. Let's do some sessions here so that what you truly know now, like you're putting it into practice. We're seeing change. So it's more like practical. It helps. For me, it helps so much because it's like, okay, I'm not just reading it on pages now. I'm putting it into practice. Someone is telling me, no, you're doing it wrong. Try again. Mm-hmm. Or try it this way. So that's why I love it. And I highly recommend it. But I know we mentioned in the last episode that you were going, no, the last two, it was the grief one, that you were going to start going to therapy on your own. Mm-hmm. First, I'd like to explain, like, is it in a point of, we said sometimes people wait for desperation. Is it like a checkup? Is it like, where would you say you are to be like, okay, I think I need to go to therapy alone? Because to be honest, I always thought it's a good idea, but I'm like, okay, it took him a lot for me. I don't know. I didn't want to give a heads up of him just going alone, you know? Mm. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I think in the moment that I made the decision I need to go, it may have been a little bit of moment of desperation. Lately, I've been going down a path that I see is a repetitive cycle to how my dad used to act. And then it's a combination to have of how he used to see the church. And I see myself starting to like jump into that cycle as well. And I'm like, the moment that I realize, and that's crazy. And I don't want to offend my dad in any way, but like, when I see that, I'm like, oh heck no. Like I see how he turned out. Like that, I don't want to repeat the cycle. There's no way. Like I know that this story does not end well if I jump into this and I'm going to like repeat this all over again. Like, no. And, then also, so me and my father also didn't have the greatest of relationship, right? And so lately, and I didn't even share this. This is going to be the first time that I share this with you. Mm. Like, I'm starting to notice there's like tension growing between me and Elijah. Mm. And it's not like nothing serious, but I don't want to get, because I don't remember at what point me and my dad's relationship really just like, it wasn't broken, but it was just like, there was a wall. And it's just like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was, the easiest way that I can explain it is like, we don't see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Like I'm team mom and like, she understands me. She gets me. She does everything with me. Like, and with him, it just felt like it never clicked. I don't remember at what point we got to that point. And now that I'm experiencing these things with Elijah and how I have kind of like grown up where, you know, like been so easy to cut people off, but this is my son. And I don't feel that at all, but I don't ever want it to get to that point where I'm like, you screwed up one too many times and I'm done with you. Like, you know, and so I've noticed the tension and I'm like, no. Again, I'm not going to jump into that same cycle. I'm going to seek help. And that's when I recognize like, I need help. And kind of the same thing as you, like, I don't know who to turn to. Mm. And I guess to be completely honest, I don't know if I trust anybody with this information to be able to help me. And so I'm like, I need to go to a counselor. I need to work this thing out. And again, because I see the possibility of the negative repercussions, I'm like, no, I can't let it get there. And that's why I've kind of been seeking, because the other thing that I told you was, this thing that whatever it is that I'm carrying, and either I compartmentalized it. I'm not saying that right, but that's the best way I can say it. Yeah. That's a hard word to say. But anyways, I threw it all the way in the back and I've been like, oh, like I'm fine. But for whatever reason, it's starting to like surface and I'm starting to see like, oh, there's baggage and there's weights that I'm carrying and they're holding me back. And I told you, I do not want to be the reason for our family not to continue forward. Mm. And especially like I'm taking on the responsibility of being the leader of the family. I'm like, then I need to do the work. Like I can't be the reason. Like, and that comes from a little bit of competitive, a little bit of pride. Like I, in like really like layman, like immature, like view of it. I don't want to be the loser of the group. I don't want to be the reason why this team loses. Mm. I want to be the reason why this team wins. You know, and so I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna go do the work. Like I have to.
Yeah.
And so, tomorrow is gonna be my
in two days
it's gonna be my first session, and we will see how it goes. I'm just going to. The funny thing is, I feel like I'm gonna have a list, and I don't know how like usually people go, but you remember when we met with the financial coach, and she's like, okay, tell me all this, and I was like, stop. Here's the Excel sheet. Boom.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to do the same thing. Like this is what I feel. This is what I feel. Okay. Help me.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I'm excited and I really hope, well, not that I hope, I know that it's going to pay off. I know that it's an investment. And I really hope that I get healthier from this and then, that I could be a better father and a better husband and a better leader in the house.
I'm proud of you. I'm sure it wasn't an easy conclusion to come with by, but I think how you said you're a father. We all know a father plays such an important role. Mm-hmm. There's statistics done on it, even from a secular standpoint. Even biblically, we know the role that our God, the Father, has. It's so important. Like, it's integral in the family. And not having a good relationship with your father, I can't even imagine, like, what the effect has done to you that you are aware of, like, consciously, but even subconsciously, like, things that you just do. And you're already a great father and a great man. So I know that this, it's how we said, it's just, I think it's like a checkup and it's going to just unlock for your future potential. Because mm-hmm. I don't think you were at a point where I would have been like, David, okay, go get therapy. Like, I would have never suggested that. It wasn't out of, for me, like a desperation, like, David, you're a bad father, or you're a bad husband or something. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that you brought it up makes me realize how healthy you are. Because to have that self-awareness of being able to catch yourself and say, okay, I'm not like my father, but this is something that could be, that is amazing in itself. And how a person can reach that, I don't even know. I don't know if it's you were born with it. If God has the grace over your life and a huge, I truly believe God has a big purpose for you because of that self-awareness. That self-awareness has helped you and saved you in so many ways. But yeah, to be able to just pinpoint that and say that and recognize, okay, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not a horrible father, but still, this is wise to do. And this is looking out for all of us, for the whole team. I'm really proud of you.
And I appreciate that. And that really means a lot and that really helps. And I feel like it, I don't know if this is bad to say, but if more wives were more like you, I think the husbands would have an easier time to like accept what they got to do.
That was so sweet.
But yeah, because I know that a lot of men have a hard time accepting it because the women, it's a hard situation because the women are so fed up and they want better, but they've jumped into a hole of like desperation and like to the point of like, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to nag him.
Yeah.
And the man, if he agrees to go to counseling, like he's going with a bad mentality of like, she's dragging me there. And you see it in movies, you see it in shows, like the man's just there like, oh, I'm here because she dragged me here or whatever, you know? And it would be so much healthier if we could do it like in a more natural, more organic way of like the women planting the idea and the man finally like, okay, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's part of patience and faith.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how you did it, but you did it where you weren't nagging. It was like once in a blue moon, you'd be like, hey, like therapy. And I'd be like, oh yeah, we'll look into it. And then time just flew by, like never looked into it. And it was just, I guess that is very admirable too. And I hope that women can see that and be like, okay, like there is hope. And it is okay for us to not like have to like keep pressing the button of like nag, 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 to get what you want, thinking that that's going to be the solution.
Yeah.
And it could be the solution. It could help a lot. But if you get there in a bad way, it's not going to help at all. You know, and I think that's a testimony in and itself of like, hey, I put it in God's hands. I mention it once in a while as the help of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we got there. And that's a testament to faith.
I truly believe my mom helped me and I saw it in her. It's not even that she kind of like gave me this verbatim like lesson, like word for word, but it was who she was. And so I think when your mom is that woman, you're bound to learn or like some of it to fall on me.
Yeah.
And I was so blessed to have that because she was a woman who always saw everything in life of like, no, I don't know how to say this without sounding weird, but hopefully you guys can see kind of what I'm trying to say. It wasn't like everything's going to go my way of like in a bad way, but it's God has favor and grace over my life. So everything's going to go kind of like how he wants it to go, like that is good for me. And just thinking of everything in life is going to go in the better for me and benefit my life because I am the daughter of the Most High, like you stop becoming the victim and you start just seeing how God like blesses you. I don't know how to explain it. And so I didn't know how, but I was like, I'm going to have a good marriage. Like because God is good.
Yeah.
Not because I'm smart and married. And like, we did not get married in a healthy way. Like we told you guys our marriage first days were horrendous, but I was like, I'm going to have a good marriage. I'm going to have a good marriage and that I'm going to glorify God in our marriage. We're going to do it. And so I think it was that hope in God of like, all right, God, get us there. Like same thing with like finances. I feel like God, that I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be wealthy. Like, okay. And get us there. Not that we're not doing the work. It's not faith without any actions, but it's truly believing that God has a better future for us, not being the victim and leaving it in his hands. And I do see how it can be frustrating and so hard. And you, because if there's moments, I'm not perfect. There's moments where we argue and there's moments where I do fall in a hole of desperation and I do start saying toxic things. And I see like, whoa, a woman can tear her house down. Like mm-hmm. it's easy.
Yeah.
That I've had those toxic fights. Like I have. And it's scary to see like, dang, if I become this person and if I have this lifestyle, that's of destruction. Like it's not good. Mm-hmm. And so if I can tap to my God-given like purpose, which is to help and do it in a place of hope, knowing that I can't change you. That's why it's called help. Mm-hmm. Because I cannot be the one to get you there, to do that. That's completely you and God. But to help plant those seeds and like wait, it sometimes it's hard, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for recognizing it. That just made my whole life.
And yeah, I guess in closing, I want to reiterate, although you hate when I reiterate, but I'm going to reiterate.
Go for it. You just made my day, so I don't care what you say.
It is important for us to seek help.
Yeah.
In all areas of our life, whether that's counseling, whether that's mental health, physical health, finances, spiritual health. Mm-hmm. What else? Health. All the areas of your life. And for us to be able to seek help, again, we need to recognize that we have weaknesses, that we aren't the greatest in those areas. We need to die to our pride. We need to acknowledge that we do need people. And we need to acknowledge that somebody else knows better than us. And when we do that, we can go out and seek help with an open mind and open heart and be able to gain that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the more knowledge and the more wisdom that you have, the greater that you'll be, especially if you're putting all that into practice. And not only that, the greater that you'll be, but the greater that you're going to have an influence over others to be able to also, even without you trying, to be able to pull these people up, because your example and your testimony is going to speak more than your words ever could. Because especially with people that know you and they go, didn't you used to be the person that had this problem? Now you don't look like that person that has that problem, you know, and that in itself gives people hope. And so we do also want to say that from our perspective and our opinion, I would personally say that you should seek, if you're going to seek a counselor, seek a Christian one.
Yeah.
I cannot speak for the non-Christian ones. I can only speak, people may laugh, but from movies and shows. And sometimes it does seem, if those are any bit close to real, it does seem like sometimes they're a little bit too self-empowering, which also taps into pride as well. And especially in the cultural season that we're in right now, where it's all about empowerment and mm-hmm. all about you.
For a selfish gain. Yes. Yeah. And you have to recognize when you're a Christian, because I truly believe a secular therapist can help. Like mm-hmm. they know the brain, they know the same tools that they can give you wisdom, they can. But you have to recognize that when you are a Christian, your worldview, you see it from a Christian lens. Your outcome is completely different. It's mm-hmm. to be more like Christ, and Christ is countercultural. So many of the things that you're going to say is not for you to be more like Christ. Again, they can help you and better your mental health, but it's what is the end goal? Better mental health for what purpose? And a Christian therapist can get you to your God-given purpose. They're way more quicker because they know what the end goal is, which is to be more like Christ.
Yeah. So we just want to encourage you guys to take time to reflect after hearing this episode, and just reflect on areas in your life where you feel like you need help, where you need a mentor, where you need a coach, where you need a counselor. Just reflect and then go seek the resources. We live in America, so the resources are there.
Yeah.
Any resources that you need, I guarantee you they're accessible. And even if you may not feel like you have the means to be able to do it, there's a lot of programs that can help. There's a lot of, like, if you speak to them and, hey, I'm trying to get this help, but I don't really have the means, they could help you out with working something out. Like, but that you're able to access those resources, you are. And so we would just want to encourage you guys. Again, this is all about getting better every single day. One episode at a time. And in order to do that, we need help. We need people. And that's the reality of it. Whether we like it or not, we need people. And if we do try to do things alone, that's a very lonely life. And you're not going to grow very much. You can, at the very most, read books and podcasts, but it's through practice and experience where you're going to gain most of that wisdom. And so, you have anything else to add or anything?
No, I just can't wait for when you come back from post, like, first therapy session so we can debrief. I don't know if you would want to talk about it on the podcast, but I'm excited.
I don't know if the first one is going to be all that. If I remember correctly, they do that questionnaire and stuff, and we don't get into the nitty gritty.
You're right.
I think it takes like two or three sessions before you actually get into the nitty gritty. The first one is just kind of like an assessment to get to know like who you are, how you are.
Why are you here?
Yeah, why are you here? And they kind of start like, okay, they get a feel for where, how you are, how you your brain functions, how your emotions function, and then they can start working.
Yeah.
And so...
but we'll keep you updated.
Yeah. And we thank you guys once again for taking the time to listen to this episode. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate your time. We're very honored and humbled that you watch these episodes. And we hope that we can be of blessing and of help to you guys in any single way, at the very least, for you guys to have thoughts, to be able to better your lives every single day. And so we love you guys. Babe, I love you. And we will see you guys on the next one.